You know, preaching is an interesting task. It's often very difficult. I know it just sounds like we just come up with this stuff so easy, but I've been working hard on this sermon, and last night I got a text from Mike who said, if you're having trouble with your sermon, I can pull out one that I've preached before. And I thought, what a vote of confidence. So I wrote him back and I said, no, I'm okay. I'm just putting the finishing touches on it now. Today is the day of Pentecost. We're looking back through the ages to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we are going to look back even further to the baptism of Jesus in the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River. And finally, we're going to look at our own lives in the present as baptized people in the church. So what was going on with the followers of Jesus when the church came into being on the day of Pentecost? And what was going on with Jesus at his baptism at the Jordan River? And what is supposed to be going on with us who have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Well, Pentecost is one of the seven great feast days of the church. It's right up there with Easter and Christmas. We honor this day in the church because of what happened on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, and how what happened that day helped bring the church into being. On that day, new possibilities were introduced into human life that may have been vaguely foreseen, but still were very surprising. This morning, I'm trying to shed some light on how to think about what went on back there, and I hope it'll be helpful as we seek to understand and follow Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. For most of the people involved on the day of Pentecost, what actually happened was a phenomenal surprise that was very difficult to understand. At the ascension of Jesus 10 days earlier, the disciples and the other followers of Jesus had been told by the Lord to remain in Jerusalem until they were given power from on high. What that meant, they could only vaguely suppose. What kind of power? Power to do what? They had some hopeful expectations, but what happened on the day of Pentecost was almost certainly not what they had expected. Last Sunday at the 8:30 service, we sang that good old hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And as we know from Old Testament history, God's covenant people had long expected a Messiah to come. The Hebrew word Messiah means the anointed one. The Greek word Christ is a translation of the word Messiah from the Hebrew. So Jesus Christ means Jesus the anointed one, the one especially anointed by God. The Jewish people had a persisting expectation that God would raise up a leader, a warrior type person like King David, and anoint that person with great courage and with the power to lead the Jews out of military occupation and into prominence on the world stage. They expected the Messiah would lead them to victory over their enemies through the power of the Spirit of God. So when Jesus did not do this, the leaders of the nation were at first disappointed, and then later they were outraged. When this so-called Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, told them that instead of destroying their enemies, God expected them to love their enemies and to pray for them. This was not the type of Messiah they were expecting. They wanted a kingdom on earth, but Jesus kept on proclaiming what he called the kingdom of heaven. This is not what they were hoping for from the Spirit of God. But what they forgot to remember was that God had said, his ways are not our ways. And our thoughts are not his thoughts. How God thinks, Jesus says, will often surprise us. What we think is best may turn out to be worst. What we think is of first importance may, in the Lord's mind, be of little or no importance at all. Often, we must be willing to let go of our expectations of God and just radically trust Him. The life and ministry of Jesus was a continuing example of radically trusting God through the help of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples and followers of Jesus found themselves challenged to radically trust God. For what was happening on that day 2,000 years ago was certainly not what they were expecting. Pentecost was the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus. The 12 disciples and probably another 100 or so followers of Jesus were all together in one place worshiping and waiting upon the Lord when all heaven broke loose. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to say that this experience is a mystery. It's a hard to understand, perplexing action of God. But its impact on the followers of Jesus and on those around them was so remarkable that the church has never forgotten it. It's a mystery. And in Christianity at its best, mysteries are not so much to be explained, but to be reflected on and wrestled with and prayed about and even entered into and experienced. In this way, though they may remain mysterious, they are honored as addressing how life as a Christian may be lived out. And mysteries are full of questions. For instance, were the followers of Jesus actually speaking in foreign languages? Or was it that the hearers were just hearing them in their own languages? And how does that square up with the speaking in tongues that Paul writes about in his letters? Theories about all this abound. It remains mysterious. But what we can say clearly from today's reading from Acts is that in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles are impacted by a powerful awareness of the presence of God. And their response somehow inspired people around them to open up to God and to decisively turn to Him. This powerful awareness of God is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals the reality of the living God. And wherever the details may be obscure or differ in the memories of the church, the general direction of the good news about God that Jesus brings remains consistent. And that good news is that God will reveal His reality to people and will fill people with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, things are never the same. Things are better, better than they otherwise could ever have been. Now, this, of course, is what happened with Jesus at the Jordan River. In the Gospels, we hear about the Holy Spirit in most of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. But it is when Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River that we begin to see the enormous importance of the Holy Spirit as Jesus is directed by the Spirit and empowered to resist evil and to do all manner of good and to reveal the reality of God the Father. Mark tells what happened after Jesus was baptized. And immediately after His baptism, Jesus saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon Him like a dove. And He heard a voice from heaven, "Thou art My beloved Son, with Thee I am well pleased." With the descent of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' life changed forever. Following His experience at the Jordan, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and was able to sense and follow the leading of the Spirit, so much so that biblical authors later on refer to the Holy Spirit sometimes as the Spirit of Jesus. God the Father desires that we might come to be like Jesus in this relationship to the Spirit, that we might come to be like Him in goodness, that we might come to be like Him in faithfulness, that we might become merciful and loving like Him in our interactions with all people, that we might come to be like Jesus as Jesus the Son was like God the Father. In today's gospel, Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, just show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me?" "Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And since we, like Philip, need help understanding this mystery," Jesus goes on to say, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And if the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is in us, then we will be changed. For this is also the work of the Spirit. And when we see people changing, when we see new goodness in people, when we see people growing in faithfulness, we are seeing the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we see people who are filled with love for all people, we are seeing the full fruit of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, God sent His Holy Spirit on and into people in such a way that He made sure that they knew it. And Peter was enabled by the Holy Spirit to help articulate what was going on. He remembered what he had read from the prophet Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, saith the Lord, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And it shall be that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was God revealing Himself in a new way. The goodness and faithfulness and love which so characterized Jesus after His baptism at the Jordan was on the day of Pentecost being poured into His followers and was overflowing to the people around them. This, of course, amazed the followers of Jesus almost as much as it bewildered the people around them. And when they heard Peter's understanding of what was happening, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him." I want to say that we are here today because God has called us. So then, what shall we do? Let's listen more closely to Peter. Peter tells the crowds, most of them not believers, that they should repent and receive forgiveness. He means that God will forgive them for ignoring Jesus, but they are to turn to Jesus now and begin following Him. He means that they should start living as Christians. He means that they should turn their lives over to God. And that's something that we need continually to do. In our worship as the church, we try to do that every week. He means that they should open their hearts to God, that they should ask God to cleanse the thoughts of their hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We do that every week. Also, for Christians are meant to live differently than the world around us. We are an Easter people. But we also are a Pentecost people, a Jordan River people. We are a church people who live life together with the help of the Holy Spirit. These words were spoken over us at our baptism, as we are being anointed with holy oil. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. By the descent of the Holy Spirit on the banks of the Jordan River, the ministry of Jesus began, and human life began to be forever changed. With the descent of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the church began, and the world was to be forever changed. And by the seal of the Holy Spirit at our baptism, our lives and the lives of our families are forever changed. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for blessing us through these holy mysteries. Amen. And let me just say a prayer here for us. Lord Jesus, bless us with your Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom to receive it. Open up our hearts to your love. Bless us to be your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And you can remember.